the chill of winter's turn. Now that the Lord of summer has returned, Lords of summer have returned.
Go from there, Trevante Jaramillo. Very excited, even though I'm only one of us. At Loop De Loo, our favorite, one of our favorite Lady Moriers, Lupe. How are you, love?
Hi.
I have to say this. I told her before mics go on that I'm super excited and, you know, thanking her for doing this with me. And she's like, you know what? I'm not really excited, but I'm here to do it. And you know what? I appreciate that too. So hopefully I don't disappoint and we do okay, okay?
Well, yeah, and I like the fact that you said that you were nervous. So
I am nervous.
Yeah, you should be. You should be, because if this could go, like, horribly wrong, like, really quickly. So
really?
If it goes bad, I was just blaming it on you, so.
You know what? I'm okay with that, because I haven't really had the one that, you know, like the real conflict one where somebody like throws their headphones and storms out, you know, and maybe this is the one, you know, who knows? I want to get a little love to the Moriers, because as so many of my shows start off with my admission of being a complete moron, I went on Twitter earlier and I said that you were going to be joining me at 5 p.m. Eastern time, which would be from New York. you caught that, thankfully. I meant 5 o'clock Pacific time, because you're a East Coast person. Excuse me, West Coast person. I'm an asshole.
California, yeah. Pacific time,
yes. I want to just throw a few things out here, because a couple people jumped on it. Beth, I just want to say thanks for, you know, checking that out. She noticed, but she didn't correct it, so thanks for that. French Fry Phil, hashtag least interesting time correction. Thanks, bro. and, of course, Jacob, at the Jacob, says, what time is that in California time? And you know what? I have no idea, so I apologize for my idiocy, but that was kind of a fun little deal this morning, or this afternoon. Why am I'm really panicking right now. I need to relax. I need to reel it in. For somebody that's not famous, you were like one of the hardest gets, and I realize now it's because you didn't really want to do it, and that's fine. But it was funny because I was hounding you and, you know, messaging you and stuff like that. And it was basically like, it boiled down to, you know, let's find 3 non Jay Moore sports things to talk about, and then maybe we'll do it. I don't know that I actually accomplished that, but it did breed some interesting conversation. And basically what happened in the first, like when you finally were like, all right, you know, I'll do it. Just shut up. Stop asking me. This was kind of weird, and this is a really clumsy segue, but I'm trying. Basically you went on Twitter and you posted a picture of yourself. You could tell it was, you know, from a while back, in a little boat and in a neck brace. So I jumped on that in as cheesy a fashion as possible, because you had mentioned that that picture was actually 21 years old. And my first stupid question was, number one, what in your diet causes you not to age a day in 21 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're
good question.
So what is it?
I just eat like a normal person. I don't eat anything special. I try to eat healthy, but I think everybody is pretty well known. I like bacon. I like fries. I eat normal stuff, but I think mainly it's just genetics, I guess. I don't know.
I was just gonna say you're definitely a specimen for sure.
Thank you. I don't use a lot of cosmetics, so, I never have, so I guess that's, like, one thing I've never really done. I mean, unless it's, like, a special occasion, I don't really wear, foundation and, like, tons of mascara and stuff like that. That's not me.
So no weird chemical additives. Maybe that's making you hold up so good. What was you know, the point of that whole thing is, you know, it begged the question, what's with the neck brace? I want to have a little fun with you here today, but you know, there's a pretty major story behind that, and we both agreed beforehand maybe that's a good thing to get out of the way before we get, you know, silly with the tweets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Here, give me one second, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, so, I think I was in a conversation with you and Beth and maybe a couple other people that I was in a car accident. I guess this is coming up on like 22 years. And, it was a normal, like, in the summer, like on a Sunday, we were going to go horseback riding. Me and my two sisters and, a few of my cousins, we were all, you know, driving out to where like a family member had horses and like horse property. And my brother was going to with some other relatives, but he was in another car. And
now, where was this?
Where was the accident?
Yeah.
It was on a regular like freeway, like a highway. So, well, I mean, usually when whenever we did anything, it was always like, we did everything together, like me and my sisters and my cousins, like that's just how it always was. And that day, I remember saying, okay, I'm driving. And I had two sisters, my sister Anna and my sister Norma. And I remember Anna saying, oh, no, please no. And then, so we all just thought it was funny. And we got on the road. And, you know, we were almost to our destination. There was a car, I think it was like a 3-lane highway. There was a car to the left of me, sort of in front of me. And I guess I was in their blind spot. So they cut me off, person cut me off. And, I swerved. And the car we were in was not a normal, like, sedan. It was we had a 4Runner at the time. So I lost control. We rolled, I don't know how many times, because I passed out. And when I came to, like, the EMTs were there, and paramedics and everything, and I was the last one to get taken out, and I couldn't move my arm, and you know, they took me out on a stretcher and everything. And let me see what else I remember. So I was taken to one hospital. My sisters were taken to another hospital, I don't remember who. I think my parents came and got me at the hospital. I don't remember who, but I was asking, you know, about everybody else, because everybody seemed to be accounted for.
Right.
And when we got home, they were like, "Well, Anna, she's not here yet," and then my sister, my other sister Norma, and my boyfriend at the time, they came to my room, and they said Anna didn't make it, and our life has really never been the same, but
Now, I don't mean to get hung up on little things, but like geographically, yeah. where were you? Was this for some reason? I thought you said that this happened in Mexico. Is that that's wrong, right?
No. The vacation was in Mexico. The accident itself happened like in if you like know Southern California. It's like
okay,
going towards Riverside, but like Riverside, California, that way.
Okay.
So the picture itself with the neck brace was in Mexico because like every couple of years or so we would go and visit my mom. My mom has a lot of family in Mexico, so I still have the neck brace like months later.
One more thing. It was just you and your sisters in the car, or who all was in the vehicle?
It was a few of my cousins too.
And everybody they just walked away with like minor injury or?
Yeah. Like one of my cousins had a lot of memory loss of that day and the like days prior. But there was no like internal like broken bones or anything like that. My sister that died, she had a lot of internal bleeding. She was ejected from the vehicle, so she didn't really stand a chance.
And first of all,
Like strict seatbelt laws, so she was in the cargo space of the 4Runner. That's why.
Right.
So it's kind of like a huge lesson for seatbelts and
yeah,
safety and all that.
First of all, I'm sorry and thank you for, you know, being open about this. But like I did mention to you in some of our messages that, you know, the reason I mean, of course it's a story and all that, but I'm a guy that has been, you know, very fortunate so far, you know, 32, and you know, my family is Hispanic, so that, you know, I've been to a lot of funerals, but like somehow nobody really in my closest circles, you know, got parents, got grandparents, you know, cousins, all that kind of stuff. So I guess what I'm always interested in hearing is like, I mean, you said a minute ago, you know, life was never the same. That's, you know, of course it, how could it be? But like, how did you handle it? I mean, obviously at first I'm sure it was shock and devastation and all that, but I'm just curious cause I don't know and I'm afraid, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was pretty lucky, you know, like immediately, you know, there's tons of family that comes over and, my boyfriend at the time was with me every day. There's tons of time where I had to go back to school the next semester and, I had to go on. And I mean, in my case, you know, I told you that vacation we took.
Right.
There's, we went to go visit family. Well, when I came back, I was gone for a month. When I came back, my boyfriend broke up with me. And then, a few months later, my sister got engaged, married, and she moved out. And then, my best friend, she moved to Seattle. So, within a couple of years, I was, super alone. And it was hard. I think it was harder than I think it should have been. But what I had to do was... I had to find a way, basically. I had to figure out a way to make friends at school. I didn't really try the first year, so the second year, I made it a point to, at least smile at people or say hi, because I'm not very social. I guess I can be a little bit awkward, but I had to force myself, and I started running, and that helped a lot, because I was able to work things out in my head, and I took art classes, and I remember like telling my art teacher that, you know, what being able to draw and paint did for me was that it felt like therapy. And she said, well, don't say that it's therapy, because then that assumes that there's something wrong with you.
You have no idea how much
is wrong with me right now.
I gotta stop you right there, because my wheels have been turning, okay?
Okay.
I'm glad you said that. My grandma, my dad's mom, has been on this podcast. And like I said, you know, Hispanic family, mother of six, my dad kind of, you know, in a way disowned his own dad because he bounced on all the kids, you know, and, you know, my grandma's a tough egg, you know, and, tough bird, mm-hmm. whatever.
Tough lady.
Yeah. And we sat here and, like, you know, a lot of the things that I do with the podcast, especially when I have family members on, is, you know, like when you're little, like you see things and you hear things, but like it's all piecemeal. You don't really know what's going on, you know? And so we were kind of talking about some history stuff, and my grandma went through, like, it's not exactly the same, but you'll appreciate what I'm saying. She had a year where she had her parents, my grandparents, and a daughter all pass away within the same year. Now, the parents were old age. My great grandma was old age. I'm gonna say my great grandfather broken heart, and my auntie Victoria, you like that? Car accident. And I asked her because of, like, what you just said. You know, if you say it's therapy, that means there's something wrong with you, right? I just asked her. I go, was it discouraged for you to, like, seek help? Because what she was telling me was it got to a point where she didn't want to get out of bed. And she had, you know, there's kids, you know, screaming for food or, you know, needing a ride to school or whatever it is. And she got to a point where she did not want to get up in the morning. And I was like, well, so what did you do? Because we both know it's frowned upon to, you know, seek help and say, you know, I'm drowning over here, right? I mean, it was a weird thing where I mean, nobody really ever mentioned it, but I go, well, what happened? And she said, I finally had to go talk to somebody because I wasn't really like facing it, you know? There wasn't time for her. Is that how it felt for you? Or was it just like an abandonment kind of feeling when everybody left?
I felt like I needed to do something for myself, but I think that I never made the connection that I should go to therapy. Like, I mostly sought out things that made me feel better.
Like distractions.
Like, you know, the drawing or, you know, running and it all helped. I mean, it helped.
What did you draw?
What's that?
What did you draw?
What did I draw? Sorry, what did you say?
No, yeah. What did you draw, like, especially in the early stages of it?
Mostly, like, because I took classes, I drew things that were assigned. But, you know, after the classes, I would just make these little designs, and they're mostly like geometric shapes. Like, I don't know. I've posted a couple of things. But just different things, I guess.
Yeah,
trees.
Okay.
Just things that I would see.
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, this is a dumb
whatever.
Question, but I'm making sure that I'm crossing all my I's and dotting all my T's here. You're basically saying that, like,
sure.
even after like when your sister got married and your friend moved, like you're saying that like your tightest circle was your family. Like there wasn't too many tentacles out to other people.
No, I mean, I did have friends, but, you know, they weren't friends that I would see like, on a weekly basis even, so I kind of relied on family relationships, and so at some point, it got to where, well, I need to make friends at school. And so I forced myself to. And I mean, it's easy when you're in school because, oh, well, let's study together or let's work on this project together. And that kind of forced me to as well. But I ended up making some really good friends and, you know, a couple of friends who even, like, started running together, and so, you know, somehow I found a way out of it. You know, I did get to the point where I wouldn't want to leave my house, and I just, you know, wanted to stay home and cry all day, but... Yeah.
How long did it take you to, like, you know, I mean, this is a silly question, but how long did it take you to, you know, maybe... finally playing out and like it wasn't so much about all that anymore?
Probably a couple years. Okay. I mean, it wasn't easy, but and I still think I have like I think it's genetic. I think there's depression and anxiety and, you know,
yeah, maybe
in my family.
I hate to ask, but it just popped in my head, and yeah. Right now I can't not. Fucking Sparky, Jesus Christ. I have to read this. Sparky the mailman just tweeted, because a minute ago I said that it's heavy already, right? And Sparky, uh-huh. Asshole, she's 105, 110 tops. He said, hashtag heavy. Thanks a lot, dude. Well, I appreciate that.
I wish that's my goal weight.
Oh,
yeah.
Shut up.
I wish.
Yeah, I
thanks.
Should.
Thanks. Yeah, I just got fat shamed.
We're going to get to that. Hang on.
Awesome.
This is a terrible question. I apologize, but did you feel responsible?
I expected it. Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, to an extent, because... I was of my two sisters the least experienced driver, and the last words that my sister said to me were like, "Oh no, she's driving," and yeah, that hurts. I mean, of course I feel responsible, even though. I mean, I've kind of like let it go, but I guess I'll always have a little bit of part of me that feels that way. And
I can't change your mind, and I'm not trying to be Maury Povich here, but you know, you're not, you know. Things happen. You can't.
No.
You can't change it. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess also the worst part is that, you know, I have that guilt, but I also feel like, you know, she was so much smarter, and she was so much more well liked, and she was like a saint. And sometimes I wonder, you know, it's normal to wonder, like, why me? Why did I live? And why did she have to die?
Sure.
Just, I mean, it's normal, but I feel like sometimes I feel like she would have done this whole, like, life thing so much better than me. Like, she would have kicked ass. And sometimes when I look around, I just feel like, I'm not like a loser, but like, God, I'm alive. I should be doing better for myself.
I can completely relate with that feeling. I mean, that's it. Okay. It's a podcast. It's not, saving lives, none of that shit, but it does make me feel like I'm trying to do something, Like, you don't have any idea, like, what this is going to do for people. Because there's so many people that have been through what you're describing. And that's crazy, Did you actually go to therapy eventually for this or no?
No.
Really?
No.
Have you, like, kicked it around or not really?
No, I mean, I thought about it, and then I just didn't. And, years have passed, and, other things have, like, occurred and happened, and, have come into my life, and other, dramatic situations that have probably called for actually going to therapy, and I just...
I hear what you're saying, but
I
like,
found a way around it.
No, you're justifying why not to do it. I get that.
I'm
going to tell you right now. The only therapy that I've ever done has been court ordered. Okay. I probably should quantify that. I was arrested in a drug related charge, and as part of the punishment, I had to go to like a drug therapy session. Where, at least I was like, I didn't do anything, and I have never really had, I have never had a drug problem. But I was able to kind of like spin what I was being told into something that I could use, And ever since then, I'll never knock anyone for going to talk to somebody,
Sure. And I don't feel like I would be a lesser of a person or a weak person if I did go. I'm just one of those people that doesn't like to go to the doctor, just like doesn't like avoid everything.
You're terrible.
Take care. A little bit. So, I mean, at some point, I think because there is like depression and stuff in my family, like I might get around to it.
Not,
might hit me at some point.
Not that, well, here's the whole thing. Like anything, what you're telling us is crazy. It's awful. I think to not face it at some point would be, detrimental. And maybe not, maybe you'll be able to coast and it won't be that bad, I'll tell you this much, like, if I hadn't, even been forced to face some of it, I would be in that same mind space doing dumb shit, I don't know. And especially after, seeing there are success stories. We know that. I mean, even, not to bring it completely around to Jay just yet, but he talks about it. I mean, like there's value to facing what has hurt you and what you're dealing with, So,
right.
I mean, I'm trying to tie this thing in because like here's the dichotomy of you. You say that you're like the least interesting woman in the world. But the community that we're involved in, like we're blown away by you, And I feel like there's some sort of like self-defeating thing that's going on here that is tied in with that. Like, does that make any sense at all?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't literally think I'm the least interesting person.
I realize that, but I mean,
I do feel like you know, in this, you know, GM Sports community that we're in, I do feel like, you know, I'm appreciated that I have, you know, friends that I've made and that they, you know, they, I feel like I've found a place here and it means a lot to me. It really does.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, like, I mean, your jokes and, you know, your support of all of us and all that kind of stuff is going to be, in my opinion, completely dwarfed by what has gone on here. And we're only like a half hour in. Like, you're making me feel proud of myself for what we've already gotten into.
Well, I'm glad I can do that for you.
Thank you.
I'm glad I can make you feel proud.
Do you... Well, no, it's mostly just because, I haven't talked about it in a while because I feel it's self-fulfilling if you, you know, keep talking about it. But, you know, I have a lot of, you know, self-loathing and self-hatred for myself because just like what you said, you know, I should have done, my life has been very cush, you know, and I should have done, in my opinion, way more in, you know, the first, let's say, 14 years of adulthood or whatever than I have. I mean, it's a bit, in my opinion, it's been a bit of a disgrace, you know, and all we can do is try to turn it around, you know. I'm gonna try to put a bow on this, but like, do you feel you said that you thought Anna would have really ripped at life. And, you know, maybe so, probably so. What about your life makes you think that you haven't? And, like, do you have a plan or, like, an aspiration to do differently?
Yeah, I mean,
forget the second part. What about your life makes you feel like you didn't do it right? You don't have to answer that if you don't want to.
I feel like, well, I think I've maybe left. I've let things that could be under my control get out of my control, and
can you give us one?
Let me see. I mean, I guess specifically in, I don't know if I want to talk about it.
Well, then don't. If you don't want to, don't.
I guess I feel like I should just be, you know, exercise my will a little bit better, and kind of like, you know, make a decision and stick to my guns and not compromise, you know, what I really want, and that's, you know, with my relationship with my kid's dad, with my relationship with my parents, and, you know, even at work, I feel like I should just do things better.
What was the second thing you said? You said kids, and then what was the second thing?
Well, like with my parents.
Oh, your parents. Sorry. Yeah.
And work. Miss that. And work, and you know, with my kid's dad and stuff like that. But I just feel like I should just be me, like me, but better. Like I feel like I compromise myself a little bit too much.
It's hard, you know.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Like, and, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but like, I mean, you and I have very similar mindsets about ourselves, you know? I'm trying to step out of that and be like, I'm not going to lie. I have a very warped sense of self, meaning like, I think I'm cooler and better and worth more than I really am probably. But I mean, everything that you're saying is hitting me directly, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing I can say for myself is that... go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is I think I brought it up to you and to 1218 with her interview that you did with her like last year.
Yeah.
That, like, I mean, totally unrelated to what she was talking about herself, but it made me realize, like, it was... when I listened to it, I was at a point, you know, where I was just like, I suck, my life sucks, I'm, you know, everything sucks. And when I feel like that, it's basically like, oh, I'm not doing stuff that I like to do. I'm doing stuff that everybody else in this house and everybody else around me wants to do. And so I have to, like, kick myself in the ass and say, what do you want to do? What's going to make you happy? And it's like a constant struggle to do that for myself. Like, oh yeah, I remember I like drawing. Let me go find my pencil. And yeah, I remember the treadmill that's sitting there, like, why don't you take it out, or why don't you go for a walk, or call your friend that you haven't talked to in a long time. Like, leave the house. Like, leave the kids for a little while. It's a constant struggle to do that for yourself. And sometimes you look in the mirror and you're like, who are you?
Right.
And it's a constant, like, struggle to remind yourself who
you are.
Well,
we weren't raised that way, you know? We were raised, I'm sure, in the same George Lopez-y stand-up way where, you know, we're not allowed to get a hot dog because there's six of us and, like, nobody's paying $1.50 for a hot dog when we got bread and bologna over here, right? It's not me, it's we.
I'll make you a better one at home. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that plays into, like, I'll be honest, I was on the fence with that. Not on the fence, that's not the right word. On the bubble of that. Meaning, like, you know, this is going to sound weird, but my parents are like the whitest of my family, you know? And so I'm an only child. I wasn't around the cousins all that much, but, you know, we're both raised with this, like, you don't focus on yourself because there's other people around you, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty standard for, you know, Hispanic folk and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, now that you have that realization, is it a tiny bit easier for you, like, to feel that and, like, actually do for yourself?
I mean, it's easier in the way that I know the things that I like to do. So when I start feeling like horrible, it's usually, oh yeah, I need to find a little bit of me somewhere. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think I've found, you know, the things that I can do for myself, but yeah, it's just a constant, like, I think I had this conversation with you where, like, you know, sometimes I'll look in the mirror and I just hate the person I see, and then I realize, like, oh, well, that's not me. Like, that's not who I am. And then...
That's like that's just, you know, how you dressed yourself up until now, or what?
What's that?
Like, that's just how you dressed yourself up until now, maybe, or? I don't know. I thought I had a cool point
like,
there.
Like, physically? But... Like, what?
No,
like,
no, no. Like you said...
Like, how do I dress? Like, my clothes?
No. God. speaking of clothes, I'm going to read a tweet here. Leto Atreides says, how long before the top comes off? This is a multicast like the Dan Patrick Show, right? Inside joke, people.
It's what?
He just wants to know how long till the top comes off. It's a little bit of an inside joke between us.
Oh, that's right. No, I wore a button up today, so it's gonna be a struggle.
I obviously don't mean physically. I mean, like, you look at yourself and you're like, that's not me, but it's just like the way you had to present yourself all this time, maybe. Maybe I'm off base. I don't know. Whatever. You don't have to agree with me on that one. Boaz, yes. Good to see you, buddy. Also, David J. Castillo. You know what? That was amazing. I can't wait to listen back to that because that was really cool of you to, you know, open up about all that stuff. I'm going to switch gears to me, obviously, because that's what we do. I was blocked by Jay Moore this last week.
Yeah, you were.
Yes, I was. And my question to you regarding that situation, which I'm not going to rehash it, but basically I got a little excited. I shared something I shouldn't have, and it's one of his little personal internet rules that I broke. You saw this whole thing happening. Like, you saw me walking into the street, and there was a bus bearing down. Why would you not help me out?
I don't know. I think I was so excited for you. And, I mean, I knew that whole situation that happened last year where, you know, he said, I don't know, was it Jay Gray? It's the F and, or it's the D, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Why are you not cursing? Do you not curse? Yeah.
Like, I... Asshole. I can.
You said effing.
I take my spot. I said effing. I like to say effing.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
But yeah, I totally. I saw it coming.
You hung me out.
I did. I'm sorry. I apologize for it.
No, I know.
Time
I know.
As well.
No, it was something that was. I'm an idiot. You know. And then on top of that, I had no idea what you guys were even talking about. And what I love the most about that whole thing was how everybody that did know about it, there was very much a feeling of Nelson from The Simpsons. Everybody just pointing at me and going, ha ha, stupid. I think I'm gonna call that being graylisted. Does that sound weird or stupid? Probably stupid. It's fine.
No, I think that's a good call right
there. Yeah, right on. Let's do. Where are we at here? Yeah, you've been a total ripper. We're almost 45. Let's do some tweets. Tweets. Man, you command a lot of attention, sir. Do you know that?
Me?
Yeah.
You're getting heavy
rotation here today.
Okay, good. Is there a question?
There's a few. Yeah, I'm not gonna go after all of them because there's literally like 40 of them. But I am gonna read a couple jokes and we'll do some of that stuff. Ew. Oh man, just came in. Boaz Trilliums. If you don't have a cock, but you're in a cock fight, what is your weapon of choice?
Oh.
Good one, brother.
I don't know. I know a little bit of self-defense, so can I just say my hand?
I guess, but that keeps it kind of hot, so...
Is that interesting? Is that least interesting enough?
Oh, is that how you're gonna do it? You're gonna do it as least interesting, Lupe?
No, I can't. I mean, I can't think of. I don't know really how to shoot a gun. That would probably go wrong. If I had a knife, that would probably go wrong too.
All right, fair enough. So toe to toe, right?
I would use my wit.
All right. I'm okay with all that. Alex Hernandez at Salejandro. Is she flattered or creeped out by my number one Lupe fan status? I don't really know what that means. Is that true?
He picked me number one in the Warrior draft.
Mm.
And I wasn't creeped out until you brought it up now. I'm wondering if I should be.
Oh, okay. Nah, don't be creeped out. You have a lot of fans, and you're...
No, Alex is cool.
I love Alex. He sent something to me one day, and he goes, like, I retweeted or starred something, and he goes, you know, I know I'm on a roll, and when TJ thinks I'm funny, I'm like, dude, you're funny all the time. I suck. Like, I love your stuff. Stop it. He made me feel all nice.
Yeah, he's funny all the time.
Let me see what else I got here. French Fry Phil. Wait, that's not him. Oh, French Fry Phil. Shouldn't you have added Meryl Streep to the list? Is that just because you haven't won the contest yet?
No, that has to do with, you know that At Midnight contest?
That's
like a hashtag game.
Yeah, yeah.
It was around the Oscars time. It was like, it was like new awards for the Oscars or something. And mine was just simply Meryl Streep, and At Midnight retweeted it.
Ooh, fancy.
Points or whatever. And it was kind of like, it was kind of a big deal at the time.
Sure.
Now I think, French Fry Phil and me are the only ones that I remember.
Oh, okay.
But that was fun. It was fun.
At Go Steelers. Oh, sorry about that. I didn't mean to step on you. At Go Steelers, Beth. A reply to 12 about Beth being next in line as far as the Lady Moore, your podcast. She replies to that, there's a better chance of the Cubs winning the World Series. To which I replied, aww.
And I replied, so you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, I didn't see that. Nice. One in a million.
One in a million.
Yep. Let's see. Alex Hernandez, Alejandro, ask Loops, 48-hour kid phone responsibility-free weekend at a spa or Dodgers back on TV? I'm assuming he's asking why you're here tonight.
Wait, what was the first thing?
Excuse me, I'm an idiot. That's not at all what he meant. He's asking which you would prefer, a 48-hour kid phone responsibility-free weekend at a spa or the Dodgers being back on TV. God, I suck.
Considering I don't like strangers touching me, so that's why I don't get pedicures. I don't get massages, so I want the Dodgers back on TV. It's kind of, I would be doing it for everybody.
You might be like the first
the Dodgers back on.
You might be the first like Mexican goth person I've ever met.
Then first Mexican what?
Goth person. Like, don't touch me, don't look at me, don't talk to me. I'm going to be over here drawing.
Not goth. You're just neurotic.
All right, fair enough.
I don't like people in my space. and not strangers, that's for sure.
No, of course, stranger danger. Can't have that.
Just
going to read this one. Has she asked you yet? Salejandro again, sorry. Has she asked you yet if she can call you back so she can quickly Google something? No, sir. I read the tweet from Sparky the Mailman earlier, and I told him, you better name the game. meaning, you know, Jay Moore's got the Twitter hat trick, you know, you better name the game because you just got red. Mike Robinson replied to that. What's up, Mike? The game is pocket pool. I'm like, really? And then Sparky comes back in amazing fashion, says, in that case, I'm eight side pocket.
I'm gonna have to follow that thread because I have no idea what you're
saying. I think he's making a size joke, I'm hoping, because that's pretty amazing. Yeah, let's kill this. We got Genevieve's daddy. Thanks for coming in, bro. David J. Castillo. I think that's it. I think we did it. I know you didn't want to do it, and to be honest, it sort of bummed me out at the beginning. But you were an absolute ripper. And what?
I wasn't a complete bummer.
Not at all.
I mean, my story was kind of a bummer.
Well,
but
the story's hard, but it's not. I mean, it has complete value, in my opinion. You know? And we all think, I especially think, not especially, but I very much think that you're awesome. I did not know you were a mom, but that makes complete sense. I don't know. It was just great. One last thing. You didn't have any other notes for me, right? You asked me that earlier. You didn't have any.
No, actually, I did write notes, but it was basically I wrote notes basically about what I already knew we were going to talk about.
But oh, okay.
My only question was, why me? Why did you want to interview me? Not even a couple weeks ago. It came up like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah. I guess full disclosure would be, you know, at some point I want to, if it gets crazy, you know, I want to be at least around a table like some of you guys have been, or in a theater, like in a group of all you guys, because it is pretty awesome, right?
Yeah.
I have not had one, you know, dud or bummer out of that whole crew. And I don't know, like, you're funny, you're snarky, you're weird, like, you're kind of a person I'm drawn to, so.
All right.
Was that good enough? No?
Sure.
All right. One last question, yeah. It's putting you on the spot, but do you have any one question for me besides that?
Not that I wrote down, and it's not in front of me, so.
Fair enough.
If I thought about it, I forgot it.
Oh, I got one last thing. Do you actually have a website called Least Interesting Woman? Is that is that a real thing, or is there content there, or what is it?
No. I think.
Oh, was it the GoDaddy contest?
No. It was Brad and Cobb like issued like a challenge for people to like at the beginning of the year to like do something like, you know, and carry it out and so I was like, oh yeah, I should make a website. And on I listened to the Crab Feast. And
yeah, fuck the crap.
They had a sale on like domain names for like $1.99 or something, and I got on it and I set up the website and I put it up, but I haven't done anything else with it yet. So if you go and look for it, it's there, but there's nothing there.
Well, put some of your art on there. What are you doing?
I don't know how to put anything on there.
You don't know how to work it. That's why there's no content. That's amazing.
The least interesting web designer. No, I don't know what to do. And like my guy, like he's a video editor. He knows like, all about computers.
Ooh,
wait
a minute.
You know,
are you breaking hearts here? Are you breaking hearts here? There's a Mr. Guy?
There's a guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Mr. Lupe.
Oh, shit.
There's an actual person. He doesn't exist. Yeah, I don't want to ask him to help me. I want to do it on my own, but apparently I...
Well, Mr. Lupe, yeah, please help us, because we are very fascinated and intrigued by the woman you've chosen. We want to see it. Not.
Yeah, I feel like you guys are way more fascinated than he is with me, but...
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, neither here nor there.
Way to derail everything at the end there. I have one very last, very personal question. Would you take my logo and kind of put your little spin on it someday?
Like a drawing of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can do that.
That'd be awesome. I do pay for services also, so if you do that and send it to me, I'll throw you a little PayPal action, okay?
Sure. Oh, you told me to have a pickup line.
Oh, that's right, because I had the awful one. I was like, that picture's 21 years old? How the fuck are you holding up so well? And I thought I almost made you curse, but apparently you just like to say effing. What's the pickup line? Wait, let me tell you mine first. This is my favorite pickup line. You're like my pinky toe, because I'm going to bang you on every piece of furniture in my apartment.
That's awesome.
I'm glad you like. I'm glad you approve.
No, the pickup lines used on me are not very good, but, I mean, I guess they've always been pretty unapproachable. But what I used to hear a lot was, and this is no lie, that I've had several guys when I was single come up to me and say, "You don't smile a lot, do you?" And that was I could tell they were trying to talk to me.
No, they're trying to be observant guy.
What's that?
They're trying to be like observant and interested guy.
I guess, but it's not a compliment. I don't know. But so there was that, and then the one that other one was this guy. Oh, I think you have something in your eyes.
Oh, my God.
I just got, like, really close and in my face. And, anyway, actually, I have a cool story about that guy.
Well, wait a minute. What? I think you... Wait. Is that the end of it? Something in my eye or what? I don't understand.
Okay, yeah. So, this guy walked up to me and he said, "I think you have something in your eye." But it was basically like he just wanted to, like, get close to me.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, well, whatever. Yeah, right, you know. So
Loop.
I was like, whatever, dude.
Loop. Hang on to that thought. Something, I gotta take care of something real quick, okay?
Okay.
Hang on. So sorry, UPS guy.
That's okay.
Okay, so let me just make sure I know what you meant with the last one. You said something in your eye, and then he just kind of, like, slowly moved his head toward your face.
Yeah. And so I was like, whatever, okay. Anyway, so I ended up talking to that guy for a good while. I got his name, you know, like, talked about his family, like, he was actually, like, an okay guy. Like, he seemed like an okay guy.
Is he, like, a camera guy?
And a camera guy? No. I don't know. I didn't...
You know, slow pan in, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was, like, an okay guy. And so I was like, okay, well, I think...
He just rolled right past you, like, yeah, shut up.
we're, you know, me and my friends or whatever, we're moving on to, like, the next bar or whatever. So I leaned into him and I said, oh, you have something in your eye. And then I planted one on him and then I left. But the best part of the story is that I later saw this guy, like, a year later, because this was, like, at a bar, like, in like, San Felipe or something. And I saw this guy later in, like, Pasadena, in California, and I told my friend, oh, my God, I totally know that guy. I met that guy. Whatever. I'm going to go over there and tell him that I'm psychic and tell him all these things about him, because I have a pretty forgettable face. I
read
these people all the time. I swear to God, I'm constantly re-meeting people, like, oh, no, we've met. Really? No, anyway. So I walked up to this guy, and I said, is your name Andy or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And I said, I knew it. I could just sense things about people. And so I told him, like, where he's lived, like, where he's gone to school, and, like, his like sister's name and like what kind of car he drove.
Wow.
And he was just like, what the fuck? And I said, yeah, I just like, so I just want to get this feeling. I just have to approach people and let them know, like, I just want to make sure that I'm like seeing things correctly. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. Well, you have a good night. And then I just, like, walked away. But I knew he didn't recognize me because he would have said, like, oh, you're the bot from the bar.
No, no. You just walked away and that was it?
Yeah.
You should have, like, walked away and then came back and then been like, you got something in your eye. And then fucking do
it. I should have. Actually, I should have, because I remember, like, oh, my guy was actually pretty cool. Like, he was a nice guy. He was a nice, I mean, he was. So, but that was.
That's a great story. I love it. Disagree on the forgettable face. Absolutely. But maybe it's because I see it every day on my devices. So, completely perfect. Absolute ripper. At loopdeloo on Twitter. I'm going to chop this together and post it right now because everybody's waiting for it. Like, go look at the timeline. It's crazy. Thank you so much.
All right.
Can you chat for a second after I cut this?
Yeah, sure. I just want to say thank you to you and for, everybody that, like, commented or replied or asked questions or whatever. That's awesome and completely cool of you guys. And I just want to say I appreciate each and every one of you.
Very nice.
You have no idea how much.
That's awesome. Hey, Jay, unblock me, bro.
So I walk inside, close my eyes, find my place to hide, and the shake as I take it in, let the show.